This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. We are joined by a local author, Mark Russell. He's got a new book out for middle school kids. Mark, welcome to Community Voices. What's the name of the book?
The book is called Strangely Bumptious and the Ghosts of Cripps Academy.
That's targeted toward mid-level readers?
About ages 9 to 14, okay. Middle grade.
What drove you to write this? Do you write books for kids a lot?
I do, yeah. I just love this genre, this age group, the kind of stories that you find in this age group, or the stories that I fell in love with as a kid in the 90s, also just growing up watching those kinds of 90s movies, you know, spooky, not scary, but...
Not horror, but suspenseful.
Yeah, slapstick comedy.
When you're approaching writing a book for that age range, what do you have to pay attention to?
You really got to pay attention to making sure the content's age appropriate, that you're writing for the reader, that the flow of the story is engaging, not too boring. You're not talking down to a reader. That's something you kind of just learn from reading middle grade books. That's kind of how you get into writing middle grade and learning what is appropriate, learning what kids like to read at that age group.
Do you do this mainly from the memory of yourself at that age, or do you have some sort of focus group of kids?
Mainly, I would say, from reading books like Chronicles of Narnia, that kind of genre.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah. Depending on what genre your middle grade book is in, they can be longer or shorter. That's also another consideration, is that unless you're writing some big fantasy, typically middle grade books are usually like in the 30 to 40,000 word range. That's also something you kind of have to have back in your mind. You can't be writing War and Peace here. This book, Strangely Bumptious, it's about 30,000 words, and it's about a boy named Strangely Bumptious, that's his name. He comes into this new town with his mom, and he finds out that his school is haunted. In order to keep the school open, he's got to figure out how to rid the school of all of these ghosts. The city is called Bloomfield. It's modeled after Springfield, Bloomington, with kind of a lot of the same landmarks that we have here in Springfield. It has this lake that's in the shape of a dragon, and it has a historical little village in the center of the town, kind of like how we have here in Springfield. It's just one of those things, as you get older, you realize the place that you grew up is actually kind of more unique than you thought when you were a kid. I thought it'd be cool to see a kid's book modeled after the land of Lincoln.
And you know it well, because you grew up there, so you're able to hone in on those things that maybe if you created a fictional town wouldn't stand out to you.
Grew up going to field trips to New Salem, Lincoln's Tomb. The library wasn't here, at Lincoln Library, when I was a kid in the 90s. Going to all those places. Actually, my first job was at New Salem. I dressed up in the outfit in the summer and was a seasonal interpreter. That was my very, very first job. Yeah, something that I'm very familiar with. The story, there is a lot of comedy. It's slapstick comedy. I like to think of it as like, if you remember Ghost and the Mr. Chicken with Don Knotts, it's kind of a little bit like that, mixed in with a 90s vibe of stories and movies like Ernest Scared Stupid and... The kids in the book, they're not using a lot of technology. They don't have cell phones and stuff like that.
That's different these days.
Yeah.
That was a conscious choice?
Conscious choice. I wanted the kids not on iPads and cell phones. And so if they communicate in long distances, they have to do it by radio or walkie-talkies. So.
But it's set in current time.
It's kind of ambiguous, the time period. That's another thing you see with middle grade books, like A Series of Unfortunate Events. That's another one where it's like the time period's kind of ambiguous. And there's cars. We're not exactly sure. There's cars, there's television. As far as the internet, there's just not a whole lot of that. It's not really a feature of the book. So the time period it's somewhat ambiguous, yeah.
Lemony Snicket had a unique universe around him, and that's what you basically create then is, even though you have basis in Central Illinois, Springfield, Bloomington, you're creating something that is unique and could be anywhere.
That's right. The main character of the book, strangely, he has a condition called Meniere's disease. He has this fluid that builds up in his ear and causes imbalance. He struggles with his balance a lot. He can't move very fast.
Different from vertigo.
A little bit different from vertigo. He has to take medication. He's also a very picky eater. He gets very squeamish in certain circumstances, sounds and stuff like that. So that's a lot of where the humor comes from, is him getting out of his comfort zone, experiencing new things, and a lot of hilarity ensues.
Why did you choose that illness for him?
in the book, he has this ability actually to turn into a ghost. I wanted that juxtaposition of him having almost like a superhero ability, but then also having this condition that inhibits his movement. I love characters that have to overcome obstacles. I find that really intriguing and captivating. Growing up, I was also kind of a picky food eater. We would go out to family reunions in the middle of August. People would bring in all of their casseroles. It's 100 degrees outside. I just grew up not enjoying a lot of food. That's something from personal experience. This condition with Meniere's, it is something a lot of people deal with. Kids in that middle grade group, it's important for them to live in another person's shoes and see what they have to struggle with and overcome.
Whether it's that or, like you said, picky eating, or for some families, it's food allergies that make it really difficult. I don't know if everybody understands who can eat what they want, how difficult those two things can be, and how sometimes you feel embarrassed because you can't eat what everybody else is eating. You can't order or go to certain restaurants, or the family can't go to restaurants because of that. That's good that that's getting exposed and discussed there. You talked about your background here. Did you go to school in the Springfield area? What schools?
Yeah, we went to Calvary Academy here in Springfield. I went there basically starting in daycare all the way through high school. I graduated there in 2001. It's been a while, but yeah, that's where I went to grade school, middle school, and high school.
Did you do any other studies after that?
Yeah, I graduated college later on, a few years later, out of a small university in Tacoma, Washington. Finished my degree there. I worked for the Talking Book and Braille Service for several years, the Secretary of State. Now I'm a full-time writer, full-time YouTuber with my wife. She has a few YouTube channels, and I'm kind of like her editor. She's the talent, and I'm the behind-the-scenes guy.
Constructive feedback.
No, never.
Okay. You went out to the Northwest and you decided to come back to Springfield. What pulled you back?
Well, actually, I did that online. I went straight into work after high school, but I actually then later on decided to get my degree. By the time I went back to college, they now had online remote options.
What pulled you into writing?
Writing, I originally started writing poetry back in junior high. That's where that started. My mom was a writer. She loved to write, so I probably got it from her. She always encouraged me to keep writing and don't lose that itch that you get to write. Beginning then, and I took a break for a while. And in 2015, I got an idea for another kid's book and then wrote that. That did pretty good. I don't really know where ideas come from when you're writing these stories. I imagine most authors don't. Sometimes they just pop into your head and you just have to get it down on the page. It's like something that you just have to do. I don't know if I necessarily like enjoy the process of writing. That can be quite torturous.
Writer's block at times?
Yeah, writer's block, or you're just tired of it. The most I am excited about a book is actually like after the first draft. Wow, this is amazing. And then you start to edit. It's like, oh man, I have to fix all of this stuff. And no, it's not as great as I thought. And you kind of start to think about it maybe too much, and then it really becomes work. But that's actually where all the great writing comes from, is revision and editing.
You know? Your inner critic doesn't go too far?
Usually not, yeah. Sometimes it does, yeah.
This is Community Voices. We are talking with Mark Russell, a local author. He has a new tween book out called Strangely Bumptious and the Ghosts of Cripps Academy. When you get into writing kids' books and you say you do this full time, are you able to make a living from that?
No, I mean, most writers aren't making a living from it.
Not unless you're Stephen King.
No. Yeah. Not unless you're Stephen King. I mean, you do make like a little bit of money from it. Most writers that are like full time, you have to be like really, really successful. Like, because most people, like, I think the sale of books just doesn't happen as much as it used to. We make a living doing YouTube. That's actually worked out really well for us. And,
what's the YouTube look like? You said it's mainly your wife who's the front on that, but what are you doing there?
Yeah, she does. It's called The Grocery Lady. We actually go into grocery stores, Costco, Aldi, and do like show deals. We've been doing that for 5 years. Costco, there's not one here in Springfield. We have to go up to Peoria or St. Louis, but she'll go into Aldi here in Springfield, Sam's Club. When we first started, we didn't make anything. It was like a side gig, because you don't really make money at it at first, but we just kind of kept at it. We didn't give up. Then it just kind of took off. It became like too much work because we have five kids. Eventually,
that's a full-time job.
Yeah, that's a full-time job in and of itself. Eventually, it just kind of became too much, and I had to help her do it. So I do a lot of the editing. It works out. We make a good living at it.
Yeah. A lot of people hear about influencers these days. It sounds not exactly that, but building up a following in social media, on YouTube, whatever it is, can be monetized. And that's what you're saying you've been able to do with this.
Yeah. I mean, it took a while. It's taken a good 5 years to get it going to where it's like we could do it full time. But I think when you start out, you're always afraid. It's like, am I too late? Like, is it too late to start? Look, I'm in my early 40s, and I made this career change, basically. So it's like, it's never too late. But you do have to continually, like, revise what you're doing. We didn't necessarily start out doing stuff in the grocery store. And you might see my wife there. She's really tall. Her name's Megan. You might see her there at the grocery store. It takes a while, so you have to play around a little bit with what people want to see from you on YouTube. And so we've had to change. We've adapted. We changed the name of the channel several times.
If somebody wanted to find it right now, where would they go?
It's called The Grocery Lady on YouTube. Yeah. If you just Google it or you go on YouTube, you'll find her.
If they want to find Strangely Bumptious and The Ghosts of Crips Academy, where would they find the book?
That's going to be at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. It's available for pre-order right now. It'll be coming out in June. I'm excited about it. I mean, I'm about 90% sure people will like it. Not 100% sure, but I mean, there's a good chance. And there's an illustrator. Sean Bixby did the illustrations. There's about, I think, like 7 to 10 illustrations in there. He did a fantastic job.
The cover looks great. It gets displayed well. Do you have your own website if somebody wants to follow your writing?
I don't, no. That's a good idea, Randy, though. I should probably do that.
Doesn't hurt. What you're talking about sounds so familiar. Anybody in the arts, whether a musician or a visual artist or a writer, it's really difficult, as much as you'd like to focus on it mostly, to make a living with it. You've got to work, most folks at best, at work for a long time getting to do it. And like you said, make some incremental income here or there. It's just the need for expression, I think. But you can spin it into something like, sort of like you said, the evolution of your podcast concept or your video cast. You can evolve it into something where it can bring money. But then sometimes the art changes, right? Because you're doing things to keep the revenue coming in and attract that audience as opposed to the original art that you wanted to execute.
Yeah, I mean, really, the number one rule is just don't give up. I mean, that's really the successful people, writers, YouTubers, they're the ones that kept at it. And if you're a writer, you just keep publishing books, self-publish, keep submitting, and you just keep going at it and at it. And then eventually, like the YouTube channel, something sticks and it lands and it takes off. And
like here in the digital realm, it's fail fast and keep going.
That's right. Yeah, almost as a writer, it's like when you're starting out, or even if you've been doing it for a while, your job is to get rejected. It's your job's to fail, especially when you're creating something.
That's a fun skill to get going, right?
Yeah.
Learn how to get rejected.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't have frog skin if you're going to be any type of creator. That was hard for me to learn. Dealing with criticism, rejection, that takes... Nobody's born with that, I don't think. You have to learn that, and it just takes... It takes years. It takes a long time.
Seeing that things go on, the doors don't close just because something didn't work, is a huge lesson to strengthen your courage to keep going on those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about what you're up to, your book, anything?
I hope people check it out, read the reviews. I had a lot of fun writing this book. I just kind of started reading the other day. I'm like, wow, this is really... I kind of like this. This is really good.
That's cool that you can go back and read it. Some folks can never look back at their work.
Yeah. But... Yeah. And usually I'm like that. I'm like, oh, I can't look at that again. I usually don't. But this one, I'm really proud of it. It's really fun. It's a fun read.
Do you think it'll be intellectual property at some point and someone will want to spin it into a cartoon or a show or something like that?
The publisher kind of handles all that stuff for me. I mean, sure, anything's possible if it's popular enough. They've asked me if I want to make it into a series and do more books. I hadn't really thought about. I mean, I thought about it a little bit. It could be a series, and there could be a book too in the future.
It seems like IP is the thing these days. Yeah. So once you get something going and successful, it's like keep that universe going and get people back to revisit it. And
yeah,
I'm really excited for it. I always love when people are able to do some things like this. We've been talking with Mark Russell, the author of Strangely Bumptious and The Ghosts of Cripps Academy. The book will be available soon. Keep an eye out. We'll have a link on nprillinois.org so you can find both the YouTube channel for the grocery lady that Mark helps his wife with and also for the writing, Strangely Bumptious and The Ghosts of Cripps Academy. Mark Russell, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Community Voices has brought over 3,000 segments to you in our first 5 years. That's a lot of neighbors, organizations, and events to get to know. But there's nearly 500,000 people in Central Illinois, so there's a long way to go. Help us. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org. Get to know all of our neighbors. With Community Voices, weekdays at noon and 10 p.m.